Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a potential game changer. A solution to a serious problem facing not only folks in Rochester, but across the country.
Well, this is fantastic.
It could make home ownership a reality for a whole bunch of people that right now do not think it's possible. Mm. All we need is one very valuable piece of information. But even with that info, doesn't change what some people have grasped onto and won't let go. Because buying a house has changed, no matter what anyone believes or is insisting is the truth.
Oh,
it's time for Hate Mail of the Week. You're hanging out in the break room. And about 2 weeks ago, we had a very exciting story that came from East Rochester. And we're not breaking news, Tommy, when we tell you homes in our area are a lot more expensive than they've ever been.
Oh, it's insane.
Like, a lot!
I mean, your garbage is going for big bucks.
But a local company called Green Door is looking to change that. They debuted their first ever carbon-friendly, affordable home. The homes are about 1,400 square feet.
That's it.
Three-bedroom, two-bath, full basement. They are designed to be energy efficient.
Mm.
They can be built pretty much anywhere. And past that, they are meant to be environmentally friendly while targeting first-time and middle-income home buyers. And most importantly in the story, and it says it over and over again, they are being described as affordable, which is big in this market right now.
Right.
The only issue with this story, they didn't include a price for the homes.
Which is kind of sketch.
And during this discussion, we realized that we couldn't even try and come up with a number of what they should cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody told you this house was $120,000, that would make sense.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody told you that house was $250,000, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So as great as this idea is, until folks start to buy them, right, and we find out how affordable and reliable they are, it doesn't really do much.
Mm.
But it turns out, Tommy,
what is that?
We do know what an affordable home should cost.
How'd we do that?
Well, we didn't get it from any government agency or group of realtors.
Good.
We got it
from
a lady who wrote us a letter.
Who from the streets?
Because not only is she here to insist this is what you should be spending on a starter home, she has a plan to get prices back to where they should be.
Damn, girl.
Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we suck, wanting to get you a cheap house. Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
When it comes to what an affordable home costs, the answer is $80,000. There should always and are always homes for $80,000 on the market. And if you're looking for your first home or you're downsizing, you should not spend a dime over that amount. I've heard on your radio show, on the TV, and read it in the newspaper about how real estate prices have gotten far too expensive. But no one wants to talk about why. The answer is plain as the nose on your face. It's because people are overpaying. The solution is simple. Stop paying that much. If first-time homebuyers all decided they don't want to spend any more than $80,000, well, the home prices would come down quickly, and the big problem of expensive homes wouldn't be an issue anymore. It's not that complicated. When my husband and I bought our first home, we had a budget and we stuck to it. Very few people can stay on a budget anymore. You see it with the way people buy groceries and fast food. Self-discipline.
Nobody wants
not
to work anymore.
Nobody wants to budget anymore.
Problem. And when people realize that, this won't be an issue anymore. Oh. Sincerely, Lacey.
Okay, I do want to ask real quick.
There you go.
Lacey wrote us that letter.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that an old lady name?
I hope so.
Well,
an old lady tape.
She read about it in the newspaper.
Right.
Okay.
So I'm going to say yes.
Because like my daughter are friends with a couple of Lacey's, but I also have Estella, which is an old lady name.
Yeah, but I think those old names are coming back.
All right, so it's a background. Yeah. Okay, just making sure. Now, before we start this conversation about home prices, technically, yeah, Lacey isn't wrong on one point.
What's that?
There are homes in the city of Rochester you can buy for $80,000.
Oh, yeah.
They will fall on top of your head.
Yeah, you may want to go outside at night.
But technically, you can buy them.
Yeah.
With that out of the way, is she serious?
She's insane. I love her, like, how... No, but just don't buy them. No, prices will come down, these jerks.
Okay, put a pin in that. Before we get there, if you are shopping for a home right now, right, or have shopped for a home recently, you understand how out of touch this woman is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So out of touch, in fact, just to put a little perspective in this break, my parents bought the house I grew up in 1990.
Yeah.
A tiny three-bedroom, 1,200-square-foot house in Gates right off of Chilai Avenue, okay? Three-room, first floor, one bathroom.
Yeah.
Do you know what that house cost in 1990?
I'm going to say 60 grand.
$79,000.
Right. Okay.
Do you know what Zillow says that house is worth right now?
Got to be almost 200?
Over three.
$235,000.
Right.
It last sold in September, or sold last September for $216,000. So that tiny home I grew up in, 1,200 square feet.
With your slap asses in it.
And it's not, I mean, look, Gates is nice, but it ain't Pittsburgh, it ain't Fairport, right?
Right.
That house.
It's beat up.
They fixed it. Okay, but like, not to like. It's not a mansion.
No.
$235,000. Yeah. And that was a starter home for my mom and dad in 1990 when it cost 80 grand. It makes sense that people that haven't bought homes in a long time can be a little out of touch.
You're going to get sticker shock, man.
But this is, but 80 grand?
Yeah.
80
that's
grand?
That's how she said it.
Like that house you described in was it East Rochester, right?
Yeah.
1,400 square feet?
1,400, yeah.
I'm thinking that house is over $300,000.
It can't be that expensive.
Bro, the junk that has gone for big bucks in our neighborhood.
But
I'm
talking
ancient.
But you're in Pittsburgh, though.
But it's right. It's the same area.
People pay for the school district.
Right.
People pay for the prestige of having a Pittsburgh address.
But they don't. Oh, because of the knobs.
Monthly mandated Pittsburgh knobs. Tommy Hill, take care of you. He's back there. You're the one giving the knobs. What you were saying, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just shocked at what, like, stuff I look at. Like, oh, you'd have to throw $100,000 into the place just to fix it.
Well, and I'm thinking too, like, let's say by, you know, in some magical world, all first-time home buyers agreed, we're not going to spend over $80,000.
So let me read the quote again. Okay. Again, from this letter to Kimmy, what Kimmy's talking about. Quote, the answer is as plain on the nose on your face, right there. It's because people are overpaying. The solution is simple. Mm-hmm. Stop paying that much. It's if first-time homebuyers all decided they won't spend more than $80,000, all the home prices would come down quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying.
So, yeah, everybody agrees. Nobody's going to spend over $80,000.
Right.
Well, here comes some person with money, all cash. You know what? I think I'm going to turn this into a second home and turn it into an Airbnb.
Or
sold.
A rental.
You know what I mean? Like, somebody's going to pay that much.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, let's say somebody says, okay, $81,000. Well, I want it too, so I'm going to bid 90. I mean, it's just, it's impossible.
But to your point, Kimmy, let's even go with this fantasy where she lives, where everybody is not going to bid over $80,000.
Right.
Everyone's going to bid $80,000.
Yeah.
So how do you figure out who gets the house? Because there would be 100 people trying to buy them. In all seriousness, let's say your fantasy even works. What do? Have a lottery?
Yo, there you go.
I'm not a smart man.
No,
but even I took a basic economics class in high school. Does she not know how capitalism works? Everyone stop spending money.
Just walk away from it.
But the funniest part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
252 WCMF. We'll get back to it in a second. We got folks waiting patiently. Let's talk to Ryan. Hey, Ryan. How are you, brother?
Hey, good morning.
Is that a cow? Hold on. Stop. Was that a cow in the background?
Oh, it's your mom.
Yeah, it's your mom. Hey, but you forget about the guy that has lots of money that'll buy up all the houses for $80,000 and then charge you triple the rent.
That's right. What's happening right. Now, yeah, right? That's, I mean, that's what Kimmy was saying right. When you were in
Home. Because, I mean, we did okay. Lose, when we were looking, we lost a few houses to people who, I don't know if they were, it was a person or like a business who bought that house to turn it into a rental.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
But now you're talking about your house, Duffy. I bought my house in 92 for $68,000. But when you look at wages, you know, back then minimum wages were $4 an hour and the cost of the dollar. So really that house really has not gone up in value at all based on what the value of money has gone down. So just because it sounds like it's a lot of money.
Okay. I think that your math is extremely wrong, Ryan, with all due respect.
But he does have a cow, though.
I mean, I don't have a cow. I can't afford a cow. So you might be smarter than I am when it comes to that stuff.
He's got his own
okay,
milk.
Just giving you a good example. Like, I saw Tom Walls had a newspaper article when I was in there last. Like, back in 2005, their cheeseburger was like $2.50.
Mm-hmm.
Now that same goddamn cheeseburger is $7.69. So you based on how many minutes of work it took 2005 to buy that same cheeseburger.
Oh, I get what
you. How many minutes you have to work.
I get what you're saying.
Unbelievable.
Okay, no, I understand where you're coming from there. All right, Ryan, thanks for the call, buddy. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Good luck with the cows, bud.
Yeah, Mom. Your mom says hi.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Ryan. Man, he's charming.
But now I want a cheeseburger.
So going back to Lacey and her idea of everybody who's a first-time home buyer is going to, we're not going to spend over 80 grand and that's going to bring the home prices down. Mm. Let's say in some crazy universe that plan did work.
All right.
Stop buying homes, drive the price down. Wouldn't that also financially ruin all of the people trying to sell their homes?
Oh, yeah. You would have a housing, what you call it, a crash.
Would she? Would
and
she,
they would never sell their homes because where are they going?
Yes.
Well, they're already upside down because if you paid $300,000 for a house that's house worth $80,000, you're in trouble.
Was she not here in 2008 to see?
Because that's what happened.
That's what happened, right? So, like,
they put everybody in the houses they couldn't afford.
Exactly. Like, her plan might make things actually worse than they are right now.
Yeah.
And it seems, based on this conversation and all the cows in the background,
mm.
the only hope for affordable homes
are
companies like the one that started this conversation. People who can find a way to make a profit.
Yeah.
Creating a bunch of actually affordable brand new homes. And all it's going to take is one company to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because once that company starts to make money, others will follow and that will get us out of this.
Yeah.
But until then, you have to live in the real world and understand how money works and capitalism
and
works.
Demand.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like this, if this woman is an older woman, how do you not get supply and demand?
And I would love to ask her to, you know, let's say she wanted to put her house up for sale. Well, you got to keep it to $80,000, even though you can make probably $200,000 more. But no, Lacey, you can't go over that. Like, because if you sell your house, you're going to want to make as much as possible.
And that's the problem here, too. I can't even blame the folks that are selling their homes for 3, 4, 5 times what they bought it.
Take it.
Because that was the investment you made in your life, right?
Like, and also, sometimes they're not even setting it that high. It's just getting to that point because there are so many people bidding on it.
And take the money anyway. Take it.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is what you are going to have to live for the rest of your life. Mm. If you're older, this is the money that you're going have to buy another overpriced home if you're moving somewhere else.
Yeah.
So you have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, let these businesses, fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That this business that built this home out in East Rochester.
25 years from now, should turn it around.
10 years. Fingers crossed, 10 years.
Which is also like a long time.
I know. But at least there's a light at the end of the tunnel there. Fingers crossed. I don't know. All right, let's take a break.
All right.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The argument, these are the best part of Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Sure, a hot meal is nice, but a fridge full of delicious food for days after while you're off of work.
Days on it.
And there's a reason I said days, Tommy.
Yeah.
Because the majority of people listening to this show will be enjoying all of the extras from Thursday for a long time after dinner's over. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We will jump right into it. The average American says they plan on eating Thanksgiving leftovers for 3 days after Thanksgiving.
That's max. You're stretching it.
Meaning, most of us will be reaching for a turkey sandwich with a side of potatoes while watching football this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
So 3 days doesn't bother you so much?
Three, I wouldn't go past that.
Okay, because it's about to get worse.
Yeah, I know.
1 in 10 Americans say they'll be eating leftovers for a week or more after Thanksgiving.
Get ready for that butterball blowout, buddy.
Look, man, this makes sense.
No, it doesn't, man, because you're going to get sick.
Okay, you do this, you just make up statistics about food every time
you're
we have a leftover.
Rancid breast meat.
Again, I've made that joke about your mother already today. I can't do it. Look, this makes perfect sense.
It's all going to be dry.
Thanksgiving, not if you have gravy, not if you have cranberry
gravy
sauce.
Gravy, you cannot go a week.
If you put it in the fridge?
No.
Why can't you?
No, gravy's the worst.
Why?
Because it's got other elements.
Oh, it's got other elements in it? They're going to break down faster?
Yes.
They're going to break it down.
I mean, I would just think it's not very good a second time around.
Gravy?
More so that, like, it's not going to have the same consistency.
You've got to mix it up with your fork and then you heat it up. Are you guys nuts?
I think I'm kind of out on that, but not for, like, the danger of it, just because of the taste is going to be a little off. The taste and texture is going to be a little off.
It's going to have, like, that skin on the top you're going to have to, like, poke through.
That's why you mix it up.
Ugh.
The skin's the best part.
Gravy skin.
Gravy skin.
I love me some gravy skin. If they sold, like fruit roll-ups, but gravy skin.
Gravy roll-ups.
Look, man. The fact that people are going to be eating food past 3 days, the leftovers from Thanksgiving, makes a ton of sense. It's a whole bunch of food.
That is.
You're not going to throw it away, right? With the way people are complaining about grocery costs, you're not chucking it. Two, like we said about expensive, all of the money that you are spending, you're going to find a way to divvy it out in other things in the fridge.
And by the way, I also get sick of eating.
How often does the average person get a home-cooked meal anymore?
Well, you're only getting one home cooked meal.
No, you're not.
Then you're getting a reheated home cooked.
But it's still home cooked.
You're getting a reheated feast.
Yeah,
feast.
Tommy, you
all
have
all the sides.
You have this warped idea.
Yeah.
Of what meals should be, and you have the time to prepare whatever you want every single night.
I do.
People with real jobs,
real kids,
and actual responsibilities and mortgages. It's grab what you can. And make whatever you can out of a box. Mm. So to have the ability to sit and enjoy something made with love from scratch for days afterwards, I don't care if it's the same meal every day for a week. I'm all in on it.
Are your kids big on leftovers, though?
Don't care, because it ain't a restaurant.
I remember being like a little iffy on leftovers as a kid. Especially like reheated pasta never...
No, it's flat.
Well. Like, it was okay.
It's out of gas.
But it wasn't something I reached for on my own as a kid.
Sucks.
No, I mean, you can do things different with the leftovers. 252 WCMF 252-9263. How comfortable do you feel eating leftovers after Thanksgiving, and how long are you going? Because you can stretch them longer without risking getting sick or getting sick of what you're eating. You can make sandwiches for a few days.
I'm all in on that.
Then you start making soups and stews.
You're gonna make a carcass. We gotta boil the carcass. We gotta have a turkey soup.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
because it's a 1940s.
I mean, turkey soup's good.
It's good like once.
Well, you're only gonna have it once,
and it's all the nasty parts of it that's like floating in there. It's not like good chunks of like breast meat. It's gonna be like the ass end of that bird.
No,
you're eating bird ass stew.
Don't eat it in Boston, by the way. Not what you think it's gonna be. Look, man, all you got to do is save a breast, a little bit of a breast, cut that up to put in the soup. You can get so much turkey soup out of that meat and carcass left over. It'll feed an army.
You boil that carcass down, you get all the good nutrients.
Even when we go to have dinner at family, my wife will make a turkey just to make turkey soup, and it's one of my favorite things she makes.
Wow.
Oh, what happened?
And by the way, your wife makes so many good things. That ain't even close to her top of her game.
They say you can tell the weight of a chef by their soup. And my wife makes it kick every chef ever.
Campbell's?
Every chef ever. You know how good a chef is based on how good their soups are. Mm. And my wife makes a kick-ass soup. You name a soup, she nails it. She made me squash soup 2 weeks ago. Unbelievably good.
Wow, look at you.
Ate it for a whole week.
No, you didn't.
Hand to God. Every night with my salad, I was eating my squash soup.
My salad, my squash soup.
And I'm going to be eating turkey soup for a week.
Bitch boy. Sitting at my oil and eating my squash.
Oh, I got old intestines, and I'm afraid I'm going to get food poisoning for food that I ate an hour ago.
Too much. I got to do kettlebell.
Oh, no.
This dueling turkey soup bitch voices right now.
My back hurts.
Kimmy, could you eat turkey soup for a week?
I'd give it, I could do a week. I could do a week.
Your husband?
But I think by the, well
turkey, they wouldn't last a week.
I was going to say, leftovers don't last long in my house. But I will say, I don't know if that would fill up my husband.
He said his fill of dried breasts.
He would still need something else to go along with it.
I love.
Like, we can't survive on one single leftover. It would have to be that.
Can't survive. That, I can't feed my husband.
I tell you, we can't.
There's one lousy leftover.
He's got to have, like, a minimum two sides.
Two sides. You went so helpful on that last part. Got to have a minimum two sides. No, two, three sides. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. The average American will be eating Thanksgiving leftovers for 3 days. 1 in 10 Americans will be eating them for a week or longer. So a pretty significant amount of Americans will be going over the 4-day limit that you have established out of nowhere, by the way.
No, through the FDA.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Jay. Hey, Jay. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Jay. What do you got for us, buddy?
So I just wanted to share what we do as a tradition. We've done it the last 6-7 years. Day after Thanksgiving, you know, we go to Stokey, we cut our tree down, and with the leftovers that come home, we take an egg roll, butter it up, make sure that take all the stuffing, the cranberry, the turkey, anything you want, roll it up, throw in the deep fryer, and then you heat the gravy up as dipping sauce, and it's the most best outstanding meal the day after Thanksgiving.
Wait, what are they?
Egg roll. He makes egg rolls. Wow. That is a game changer,
yeah,
Jay.
Awesome.
Where do you get egg roll wraps?
Wegmans?
Oh, it's out of this world. I mean, it's almost as good as the original meal itself.
Oh, my God, so, Jay.
Share that.
You opened my eyes, buddy. Oh, my God.
So it's an egg roll full of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, some dipped in the gravy.
And you fry it.
Yeah, I put it in a deep fryer, but you could air fry it if you want to be a little healthier. I don't know if that's healthier, but yeah.
It's
like a garage stick, like deep fryer.
I'm sure that all of that Thanksgiving dinner air fried is probably much healthier. Jay.
Probably.
You just changed a whole bunch of people's lives listening to the show, and I would like to.
Yeah, but you got to know how to make egg rolls.
Yeah, here's what you do. You roll.
Bro, that flimsy
dough
is very hard to work.
Wegmans, Tommy. You buy my Wegmans. Yeah. They come in a package.
Oh, there you go.
It's simple. It takes 2 minutes.
Yeah, but he's got dainty hands. He doesn't have man hands enough to roll an egg roll. Oh, no, my fingers don't work. Oh, I got
dainty fingers.
I think I have a standard Asian size hand. Wouldn't you say?
I don't know. I've never looked.
No, but I mean, Asian people are slight.
Jay, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate
it. They're trim.
Tell you what.
They have nice hands.
I don't know where to go from here.
Next time I run into an Asian buddy, I'll look at his hand. And can I take a picture of your hand to compare it to his?
Absolutely.
And I'll text you immediately.
You know what he'll say? I know that guy. I went to high school with that kid. He's in Rochester now?
People who throw out leftovers are the worst people on the planet.
I dump.
Bro.
I hate
You're the worst.
That's money.
Then let somebody else have the leftovers. Don't take them with you. If you're just going to waste them.
No, you might as well take all of your money, put it in a pile on the kitchen table, and set it on fire.
No, I don't want to make all this stuff to begin with because nobody finished.
Okay, but it's done. It's done already.
And how about we just cut back?
Forget the money. It's a slap in the face to the people who made that food. Because I'm willing to bet the people who hold on to their leftovers the longest are the ones that actually made the meal.
Yes.
Fair statement?
You know why? Because they got sweat equity in that bird.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
You don't know what it takes. To pay for that damn turkey.
No, but it's not just the money.
It's
like
the
you
cranberry.
Said, it's the
in a stuffing.
The sweat equity, you put it perfectly, right? Like, there are going to be people tomorrow, starting tonight, into tomorrow, they're going to be cooking for 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 hours.
Now, by the way, they ain't cooking. It goes in the oven. How much actual cooking you doing?
You got to do prep work for sides and gravies and soups and turkey. That's a ton. Pies?
Who the pies?
Bro, if somebody puts 8 hours of work into a Thanksgiving meal, and you chuck those leftovers, you might as well spit in their face.
Well, usually when people give me leftovers, I always throw them out when I went home.
Even you as like a single broke dude, like you didn't make those work?
No, I didn't want to.
That's really weird.
Well, I was bad with money too. I also wasn't eating much.
And dumb. Also dumb.
Dumb.
And ugly.
And small.
You don't
hands.
Have like one.
My little hands couldn't hold the turkey to get it home. I would drop it in the driveway, and then the squirrels would eat it.
And then it would get that bone would hit him in the ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened then?
And then really, who you use? You didn't have like one, at least like one favorite side that you looked forward to eating.
When I was fat, yeah, but
I don't believe you. I don't even believe you liked it when you were fat. You don't change your like taste just because you got skinny.
No, but you got to cut back.
You got to cut back. Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, look who's talking.
I'm going to eat my ass
Diet
off tomorrow.
Coke sipping.
What are you drinking?
Water. Good American water.
I'm eating my ass off tomorrow, and I'm eating my ass off on Friday with the leftovers.
No, you're not. Watch you're, me. Gonna, you're not even. You're not going to do deuce on cheat day.
I've already got my...
going to like wait to the dinner. Or are you just going to wait to eat all of your calories at once?
I'm going to have my peanut butter toast and my banana in the morning, like a three-year-old. And then I'm going to have my big-ass dinner at 3 o'clock.
All right.
That's my plan. 252-WCMF 252-9263. Again, the average American will be eating Thanksgiving leftovers for 3 days after, which Tommy says is right on the borderline. Mm-hmm. 1 in 10 Americans will be eating them for a week or longer. So about 40% of Americans will be going past Tommy's all of a sudden decided 3-day limit. Rammer's on CMF. Hey, Rammer, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning. I just want to clarify something. Did Tommy just say he doesn't want to make all this stuff to begin with?
Yes.
When has he ever made anything?
He makes my life miserable every day.
Hey, there you go.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm talking in terms of food. I mean, he's not doing any of the work, and he's complaining about having it.
Ooh, in your face.
Yeah, hey, Tommy.
Yeah, buddy.
I'd like to once again introduce you to this 21st century technology called a freezer.
No, I'm out now. I'm out on what you're saying, Rammer. I'm sorry.
No, freeze that turkey.
Ugh.
Listen, I'll take the leftovers and I'll portion them off into single meals, and I'll tell you what, it's great. You throw it in the freezer. In June, I'll be having Thanksgiving dinner again.
No,
who
no,
the hell wants
no more.
That?
I mean, no.
Oh, hey, no, bro.
Freezer burned turkey with Rammer.
Thanksgiving dinner taco.
What?
No, he's going to make Thanksgiving dinner tacos is what he said.
Oh, that's,
yeah. Which I'm also in on, as long as it's not frozen. No, man, my wife tries to do this. She'll like she always makes way too much food. She'll freeze it. It'll sit there for 6 months. She'll find it. It's always soupy and watery and gross.
I ain't eating no Rammer taco.
Rammer, we've silenced him, finally.
Wow.
Rammer, have a happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Thanks for the call.
You too, bud.
There goes Rammer. It's all it took. 12 years. He finally stopped talking.
Yes.
You know, opening a business is complicated.
Oh, it's tough.
You have to do a lot of things right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the capital to start.
Yes.
Right? You have to have a product that people want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the most important thing about opening a store would be to let people know what you're selling inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And that could have been the fatal flaw with this store that is closing come the end of this year.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Orvis announced yesterday.
Orvis.
They will be closing their store in the Pittsford Plaza by Christmas Eve.
I was going to go pick up some Orvis.
Okay. Excuse me. Orvis is in the Pittsford Plaza. Mm. It is around the corner from your house. Mm. You are at that plaza every single day.
Mm.
Can you tell me what Orvis sells?
Nope.
Kimmy.
Yeah.
Before you saw the story yesterday, were you aware what Orvis sold?
No, I thought it was like a restaurant.
Okay.
I didn't even know it was... You know, like merchandise.
Because Orvis has been open for like 10 years over there,
oh,
right?
Okay.
It's been there for a while,
I think.
So.
Would you guys like to know what Orvis. Has sold and will no longer be selling come Christmas Eve?
What is that?
Orvis sells high-end outdoor clothing and fishing gear.
Oh. Like a fly rod?
I think so. Can I ask a quick side question?
Yeah.
I never looked at, like, I know fishing can get expensive, but I never looked at fishing as like a super high-end
thing.
Is fly fishing like a douchier
Pittsburgh
thing?
It's the highest. My brother does it.
Why?
Because they live in the mountains.
No, so I meant why is it more high-end than regular fishing?
I think it's because you can't do it everywhere, and you got to learn how to do it.
Okay. Oh, it takes more
skill.
And
you need, like, waders and baskets. You look like a complete ass.
Whether or not you look like an ass is irrelevant. Mm. I just didn't think
I think this stuff is super expensive.
Okay, gotcha. All right. So Orvis,
yeah,
which no one in this room know what they sold, for some reason is going out of business.
Nobody wants to fly fish anymore.
They say that they will have sales going on both men and women's apparel and the fly and the fishing stuff they have up until December 24th when the store will officially close.
Ladies look hot in fly fishing gear.
Well, if you're looking for stuff, I mean, Christmas especially.
Yeah.
Now is the time to go grab stuff on
a discount. Get yourself a nice rod and reel there, Pat.
But I'm going to be honest. As much as I don't care about Orvis or fly fishing or anything like that, this does end a weird story that happened like 10 years ago here in the break room.
What happened?
Because you were driving by on a Saturday, Pittsford Plaza.
Yeah.
And you saw something that threw you for a complete loop.
Yeah, it was going off on the side of the building over there. Right?
So what was happening?
They were practicing. They were giving a clinic on fly fishing outside in this grassy area on the side of Pittsford Plaza.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there was like five idiots out there and some guy teaching them how to whip the pole.
Because unfortunately, Tommy's mom could not be there that day. Great old pole whip. Whipping that pole over and over.
Yeah, I get it.
Whip it. Tommy's mom. Don't.
He doesn't know Devo.
Everyone knows Devo. Yeah. So I would like to point out that's one of the funniest stories Tommy ever told on the air. Yeah. Is he's driving by on a Saturday morning and sees all these high-end rich douchebags practicing fly fishing.
With no water.
And even with that, you were unaware that they were doing it under the guidance of this store, Orvis, that is going out of business. Mm. And the fact that they survived this long.
Pretty amazing.
With nobody knowing what they did there.
Well, they're probably their one customer died.
Well,
I heard he got swept away in a storm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Those waders were too heavy?
Yes.
The waders filled up. He had water up to his thighs.
Like, I don't even see, like, a young guy getting into the fly fishing game.
I had a buddy who did it when he was 18.
Really?
But is that because his dad, like, is it
it was handed down.
But that's what I mean. Like, he wasn't like a high-end guy. In fact, he was doing it as a teenager because Owacka Creek, a group in Gates, it's not that far away.
Yeah.
And Owacka Creek, I guess, is a big fly fishing creek.
Oh, good salmon run out that way.
But there was a joint on Ridge Road in Greece, like way out there towards Buffalo.
Yeah.
Where they sold handmade flies.
Oh, so the guy made them. Like,
yeah.
Those things are super expensive.
And every once in a while, I would go with him when he had to go, like, look for new stuff.
But that stuff could, see, that kind of stuff is going to run you.
But I get what you're saying. But even that place was like a down homey mom and pop shop.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, this sounds like
This is like boutique fishing.
Well, but you've never been inside.
But it's in Pittsburgh and it's in that plaza.
You didn't even know what they sold. And now you're trying to tell me what the inside of the store
is. You know, when you
like.
Walk in there, it's going to smell nice. There's going to be pictures of really handsome men fly fishing. Like, in like the mountains, the things you're not going to do.
It's kind of...
Like, you're going to be at Allen's Creek basically pulling up golf balls.
It's kind of one of those stores you walk into and immediately regret it because you know nothing in here is for me. But now I feel like I have to browse if there's nobody else in the store just to make it look like I'm interested. It's that weird feeling of guilt. Like, do I have to buy something now?
You're describing that time I walked into Eddie Bauer by accident. In
Yeah, this is like an Eddie Bauer with rod and reel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Orvis, a store in Pittsford Plaza, which has been open for a while. They'll be closing by Christmas Eve. All their stuff's on discount. The three of us in this room, one of which passes this store every single day and saw a demonstration being done by the store unknowingly, no one had any idea that they sold high-end fishing outfits and gear. Jim's on CMF. Hey, Jimmy. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. Anyone who fishes knows the name Orvis. And yes, fly fishing is probably the douchiest because it's super expensive.
Okay.
But the problem is, all right, growing up, there were bait and tackle stores that sold rods and reels all over the place, and most of them have closed up. And I'm guessing it's mostly for the reason everything's available online without the brick and mortar markup. You know, that same rod and reel at Orvis that's $800 you can get for $550 delivered next day through Amazon.
Here's what's weird to me. And again, like, my dad fished when I was a kid. He would take me. I had my buddy that did the fly fishing thing. Jim, I always thought guys like you. And I
wanted
want you
to test it out.
Exactly.
First.
I want you to take that exactly the way
hold
you
it.
Think I meant it. Yes. I want to know what it feels like. I want to make sure
I'm going to hold that rod in my hands.
That's
make
right.
sure it's quality.
No?
What? Wait. You started mocking me, but I didn't get the point of what you're mocking me for.
I would have thought guys like you, like in that game, would want to touch it and try it first before buying it
online.
See,
some fighting that pole.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Especially, I don't fly fish, but I do know one or two people that do. Yeah, you want to know what it feels like. But again, okay, so I walk into Orvis. I try out a couple of rods. I find one I like, and I look at the guy and go, thanks. And you walk out, and you order it online.
And that man starves to death.
And you heard it here first. All of Jim's buddy, multiple rods in there.
Yes.
Yes, they do. And some are long, and some are short, some are supple.
Jimmy, thanks for the info, buddy. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Eat until you drop.
Damn right, Jimmy. Have a good day. There goes fly fishing rod grabbing Jimmy.
Oh, what a dick. Yeah, I'll check it. Thanks. I'll see you later. Put you out of business, buddy.
Don't act like you've never done it before.
What?
You've never walked into a place, tried something on, and then went online and bought it?
What you're talking about?
Nah, and then it turns out they were baby shoes.
Yeah, but it'd be like Macy's.
Robert writes us, what? As we're learning more about Orvis, he says, Orvis literally sells clothes like Tommy wears every day. I'm surprised he hasn't been in there.
Oh, man.
These guys are douches. They look just like me. Let's take one more call, 252-WCMF. Now we're on a fly fishing talk, buddy.
Oh, boy.
Keith's got the last word on CMF. Hey, Keith, how are you?
Hey, brother.
Hey.
I'm a fly fishing guide. The loss of Orvis is significant because it's one of the very last independent shops there are in our entire region. They've all closed.
Okay, so Keith, fill me in here. I thought Orvis was part of a chain. It's not. It's a mom-and-pop shop.
It's part of a chain.
Okay, gotcha.
It's, you know, Amazon is crushing everybody. You know, that's I'm not going to name, but there was 10 years ago, there was 10 of these specialty shops all over the place, and there's not a one left.
Oh, God. I'm a fly fishing expert. And I can't get a good ride anymore. Hey, goddamn Amazon driver.
Hey,
driving
Keith,
a little guy out of business.
Is he having a struggle? Is he all right, man?
Every day I deal with this, Keith. Every day. Keith, let me ask you a question.
I know, man. I don't know how you do it.
I don't either. He's crazy.
All of a sudden, you've become an old jazzer. Keith, let me ask you a question. Because everyone's talking about how expensive this can get. Let's say tomorrow I decided I wanted to fly fish, right? What is my in-the-door basic price for fly fishing, everything I need to go out tomorrow?
Lower end, $500 to get you on the water.
Don't even talk to me. Let's go $500 a year. I say, kiss my ass. Go stoke on Amazon. I don't care.
Keith.
You made a good point. I'm surprised Tommy doesn't know this place. They have high-end, super overpriced blouses there. He would have loved it.
Tommy wears blouses because I think he's a sissy.
Have a great Thanksgiving, you guys. I'll see you.
All right, team, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving. When Tommy realizes he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Socks and go down to Orville's and get you ride.
Over a